Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good morning and welcome back to the program, family. Thank you so much for joining us. And for those who have just joined us, it's time for us to get into our mid-morning chat. And we're joined on the line by Dr., as he would prefer to be called, Pastor Cesar Wamalika, who's joining us. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for making time to speak with us this morning. Maybe before we get into our conversation for this morning, would you please just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, thank you for your welcome. This is my first time to speak on your world radio.
Right.
It's true. My name is Cesar, from Julius Cesar, Cesar Wamalika.
Mm-hmm.
I come from Kenya, and I've been a lecturer at the University of Eastern Africa, Baraton.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked as a pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist Church for about 40 years.
Oh, wow.
I'm visiting Cape Town just for a holiday break to see my friends.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your holiday to speak with us this morning, because this is a very interesting, sensitive and touchy subject here that, you know, we've been seeing a lot of these questions on social media and a lot of conversations around whether or not we can reasonably still say that God is good, right? So if God is all powerful and he's perfectly just and he's infinitely loving, it's logical to assume that just by clicking his fingers, he could restore this world to its original glory, right? But looking around, that's not the way things are. So where is God? When we look at the horrors in the daily news that we see every single day, wars, rumors of wars, natural disasters, brothers turning against brothers and all of this, if God is all powerful and good and just, why is all of this happening? Is God really a good God? And is he in control if things are just falling apart like this?
Wow. This is a very important and a pertinent question.
Mm-hmm.
It is there in the minds of many people. In fact, I would perhaps say almost every part of the world carries that question.
Mm.
Whether it is a heathen world, pagan world, Christian world, Muslim world, that question is always lingering in their minds.
Mm.
Some people may not say it loudly, but it's a question that is troubling humanity. And you may also want to know that it's also a question that Bible people also asked.
Mm.
For example, King David once said that he felt jealousy and painful at the prosperity of the evil people.
Mm.
He said those who were evil were prospering, and he who was faithful and committed to God kept on suffering.
Mm.
And he asked the question, is this justice? Of what value is it? And then immediately he asks that question.
Mm-hmm.
He gets an answer. He says, it was until I saw their end.
Mm.
It was until I saw their destiny that now I came to understand who God is.
Powerful.
Anything we enjoy, seems like he discovered anything that we enjoy,
mm,
as long as it is temporary, it is deceptive.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. So he said, until I entered the sanctuary and I saw it. So it's a question that really touches me. And if anybody has the same question and is listening to us this morning,
mm-hmm,
this is very relevant.
Mm.
Let us see what who the Lord, who God is.
Okay.
It is true that we always want to assess everything based on our subjective experience.
Right.
I mean, we We look at things from our subjective experience.
Mm-hmm.
We draw conclusions and we live in that. And that one is true to almost everyone. And it's a challenge to each one of us. We end up asking why.
Yeah.
How can this be? Why is it? For example, when you lose a beloved one, you wonder why. How could God allow this?
Yeah.
And especially when people say, it is God's will. You wonder, is it really God's will that I lose my beloved one? There could be somebody listening who has lost a beloved one. There could be somebody listening who has a family member that is very sick. And he has been praying about it. And nothing seems to be working.
Mm.
Yeah, there are people who have gotten into an accident, road accident. Perhaps they've lost a beloved one or a child. There are people who read the stories in the Bible of how the flood wiped away the entire population of the planet and reduced the whole population to 8 people. That's a great tragedy that took place. There are people who, this world as we know it, we have had 2 world wars. And the millions have died.
Mm.
Yeah, we even now, nations are threatening each other.
Yeah,
the war between Russia and Ukraine seems to be turning into a world war. And somebody said, in case a world war breaks out because of the nuclear weapons that we have, there will be no winner.
Mm.
Yeah, so it is true, people are trying to ask. You go to the Middle East, you find innocent children, mothers, old mothers, old parents are being wiped away, killed senselessly without being sensitive.
Mm.
So it is true. I'm just highlighting some of these things that is true. The,
yes.
The basic question is, can we still say God is God?
Yeah.
The question, can we still say God is good in the midst of all this
that
without being branded as liars? Can we still say God is good with all his power that he has? We read of him that is a God who is powerful, a God who is all present. Why can't he activate all that power
exactly
and reverse all these things within seconds? And then we can be able to say, there he is. The concept of a powerful God who can change things in minutes was also predominant among the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They looked for a savior who was politically powerful and would do away with the military, Roman military that was suppressing them.
Mm.
So, how can we say God is God? And maybe the best way to do it is to move out from our subjective circle.
Okay.
And look outside at what God is.
Okay.
Number one, God is not measured by our subjective experience.
Mm.
You cannot measure God by your feelings.
Okay.
Otherwise, he ceases to be God.
Mm.
Even when we say God is good, the word we are using is an English word, which simply means absence of all bad feelings.
Okay.
Absence of, it means an environment where all things are positive.
Okay.
But when you read the Bible, God is good. God is God.
Yeah.
And he's not dictated by the environment that is happening.
Mm.
He's still God. In Kenya, where I come from, there is a song that says, let God be God.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, don't limit him to our subjective experience.
Right.
But this is really challenging. And it seems to give us the impression that the best moments we know who God is, mm-hmm. is not when things are perfect.
Okay.
It's when things are bad.
Sure.
Because out of that terrible things, out of that pain, God brings out his true purpose.
Mm.
That's why the Bible says that all things work for good. It says like that. All things work for good. There was a rich man in the middle, in the East. He was called Job.
Mm-hmm.
His story takes almost over 40 chapters in the Bible.
Mm.
And we read of him that he was the richest man. He was a billionaire.
Mm.
And he was reduced to pauper.
Mm.
Yeah, I understand. The whole story starts outside this planet, where the Bible says that there was a meeting somewhere, and sons of God came together. Don't worry if you have not read that story,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just giving you a background to give you the idea I want to, the
right.
statement I want to make.
Right.
So you find that there was a meeting, the angels came together, and Satan also came. And God asked Satan, how is the planet Earth? And he said, well, it is fully under my control. I control from up to down.
Mm.
And everything is under me. And God said, but have you considered my servant Job?
Thank
and
you.
He says, yes, I know. Job is rich. And he doesn't obey me because you, God, you have bribed him with riches.
Mm.
And therefore the response is that he has to worship you. So you see, the basic there is that Job worships God out of stipend.
Right.
Out of what I'm getting, you see?
Yeah.
So for God to prove that Satan was a liar, he allowed Job to go through 40 chapters of
sure.
pain. He lost the children, lost everything he had. He was reduced from billionaire to pauper. There was only one thing that he did not, was never touched, and that is his wife.
Mm. And you know, Pastor, sorry to cut you off there. What's actually, the thing is, that story is one of the ones that a lot of people might look to and say, well, why would God volunteer this man who was minding his own business? He was doing nothing wrong. He was obedient. He was, by all intents and purposes, he was a good man. And for it almost seems like it was like a power play, or God was trying to show off or whatever. Someone might look at that story and say, why would God put this man through all this, especially to the point of losing his children? Losing your wealth is one thing, but to even lose your children, to go through all that, and we still say
yes.
God is good?
Now, for example, when you come to South Africa,
mm-hmm.
when what makes Mandela shine so much is not that the comfort, that if he had gotten the whole comfort,
mm-hmm.
nobody would have remembered him. But the fact that he remained firm through all that pain
mm.
makes us respect him as an icon.
Mm.
And the pain that Job got in the Bible and
yeah.
suffered,
yeah.
we would have never known the faith that hid in him until when he said, I know my Redeemer liveth.
Mm.
I know my God is alive.
Amen.
And I know that though I die, I will see him one day.
Mm.
He vomited out that great faith that has inspired millions around the world.
Mm.
We shine better, not during summer, but during winter,
mm.
so that winter is not able to crush us.
Yeah.
How can we be shown out of what material we are made of if everything is summer?
Mm.
The material from which we are made of is well shown when we are going through the suffering, through the pain. And
wow.
the reason why God allows these things to happen is not because he's incapable,
mm.
or it's not because he's enjoying to see us suffer.
Yeah.
It's because he's trying to produce a final product.
Wow.
A product that will inspire the future. So he says, I'll make sure that whatever happens to you is not more than what you can bear. And for every pain, I will open a way of faith that you'll come back victorious.
Wow.
Imagine, how can you be called an overcomer if you had nothing to go over?
Very
and
true.
And therefore, I want to make this statement to you, that instead of complaining and murmuring about all this pain and the state of the world the way it is, let us move ahead and see the final product of having gone through this. It strengthens us to share with our generation to come that all suffering is temporary. That beyond it, there will be a sunshine. And many people have gone through this. We know what God does. Number one, I want you also to get to know that God is not measured by the sufferings of the world. God is God. He can choose to let it be. The suffering to be there, he can choose those the death and everything, but he still remains God. It is at the end that we see who God is. And the suffering that we have today, the suffering that we see, the Bible says, is nothing compared to the glory that will come forth.
Amen.
Yeah. And therefore, the issue may not even be the very thing. The issue is where our eyes are focusing to. If we focus on the present, on the state of the world today, then, as the Luya people speak in their culture, they say, when people are going to war, you don't discuss about the past losses. It makes them lose the strength. So the talk today is not so much of the state of the world.
Okay.
The talk today is on God the Creator.
Amen.
Yeah, when you look at creation for 6 days, he was always moving from low to higher.
Yeah.
Each day of creation, he crowned it with the word, it was good. Except one day when he never said it. He was saying it was good. It was good. And he ended with very good. And therefore, the condition of the world that is it today, I want to speak to my listener somewhere. This condition is not permanent. All the dead who have died, God says they will be resurrected. And he comes and says, I am God, even in the midst of all this.
Amen.
I will bring everything to the end. That's why I would like to suggest that our eyes should not be on the present, should be on the promise that God has given for us in the future.
Amen.
Imagine the day when all the dead will be raised. When your mother will be raised, your dad will be raised, your children will be raised, the graves will open. Imagine what the Bible says. It says the graves will be opened and we shall be translated, we who are alive, and we shall meet them in the clouds, go together and meet the Lord.
Amen.
And he says everything will be new. New heavens and the new earth. So there will be no more talk of the former things.
Beautiful. So it's all
about
perspective.
Yes. And therefore, I think it's all a question of where, in the midst of all this chaos, where are our eyes? If our eyes are on the very thing that's taking place now, we are of all people most pitiable.
Yep.
Look at a woman when she's going to give birth. If her attention is on the pain, the labor pain, she will never appreciate the child.
Yeah.
The attention is on the child to be born. Once the child is born, the pain evaporates.
Yeah.
And therefore, what we are going through now is going to evaporate. Yeah, our beloved ones who died, they're going to be resurrected.
And we definitely look forward to that day. But as we're wrapping up in the next 2 minutes or so, if you can just address this one thing, because there's also sometimes someone might have these questions about the goodness of God. And earlier on, you spoke of how even in the Bible, those questions existed. And you mentioned David as an example. Is it a lack of faith to ask such questions? Is it sinful to have these kinds of questions about the goodness of God?
No, it is not sinful. It means that we are concerned. The Bible says God is good. That's what it says. But it doesn't use the word good per se.
Okay.
It uses the word love. God is love.
Okay.
It's a copulate statement borrowed from mathematics. It means God is love, but you don't reverse it. It means all that God does, we may not understand it, but it's an expression of his agape love. The love of God is unconditional. It's an unconquerable benevolence. We may not fully understand it, but that is his nature. Even in him allowing all these things to happen, in the end, we shall discover that it was an expression of his agape love.
Amen.
And therefore, today we never give up, because what is driving us today is not the pain that's taking place in the world today. What is driving us today is the character of God.
Amen.
It's who God is. That's why the emphasis in the Bible is not death. The emphasis of the Bible is not even the state of the dead. The emphasis of the Bible is a resurrection. That is what turned the New Testament church upside down. Because we know that what is yet to come is much greater than what we have lost through the pain.
Amen.
And I want to encourage somebody to turn the tears into ministry. To turn the pain into inspiration. And remember, it is always after suffering that the day breaks forth with joy.
Amen.
So we know that there is no suffering that can be compared to the glory that we shall receive.
Amen.
At the second. So may God bless you so much so that you'll come out to inspire others. God is faith.
Beautiful. Beautiful. My pastor, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming through and speaking to us on this subject and for the encouraging words and just that reminder that at the end of the day, it's more about the perspective. It's not about pretending like everything is perfect and pretending as if the world is at peace and my life is going smoothly, but what do I choose to focus on? And that is what will then, that's what then determines the way that I view
that's
the world.
True. Very true.
Pastor, thank you for your time this morning. God bless you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Amen. Family, that was Pastor Wamalika speaking to us there about the question, is God really good? And I do hope that any questions that you might have, any doubts that you might have been addressed in this conversation and that you're encouraged to look to the Word of God, look at His promises and focus on those, recognizing that God is good, even when life is not good, even when things are not good, God is good all the time. You're listening to the Mid-Morning Empowerment right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. We'll be right back after this.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.